Hello guys, hello. Welcome back to mantalk.ke. Thank you for coming back for another week, for another good conversation. Now we're here in Kafisi, Riverside Square, and we're about to interview. No, it's not going to be an interview, it's a chat with some incredible people that Oscar will introduce. Do your thing, buddy.
Welcome to another episode of Man Talk this festive season.
Right,
a fantastic
Christmas
conversation to unbox, another one, obviously, with Tile Pack, bro.
Pack, bro.
And Martina Gles. I say Gles, like Iglesias, or Gonzalez. Yeah, you know, we are very excited to have them. These are lovely dancers, content creators, and lately, fashion designers, as we'll soon come to find out. Really excited to have you. Pack, bro. Tile. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling all right.
How are you feeling? You feeling good?
Yeah, I'm feeling good.
How was life treating you?
Pretty well, I could say.
Welcome to Mind Talk. Martina, how are you feeling?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you for having us.
We're really excited to have
you. We're about to have a lot of fun, guys. It's good to be in the company of friends. It's like people we're familiar with. It's going to be a good conversation, not an interview. It's going to be a chat. So what we do at the beginning of every episode, you're familiar by now, is we play the unpopular opinion of the week. Now, we've not heard this one.
Okay.
Let's run it and then we just discuss. Okay, we have no idea what's being said. Okay, here we go, here we go, here we go. Volume up, brains on. Let's go, let's go.
As interracial couples, what are some of the assumptions and questions they constantly get tired of hearing?
Okay, well, I can't speak to that.
As an interracial couple, what are some of the questions?
Is this an unpopular opinion, though, or just a question?
Is it a question, unpopular opinion? You put out a box.
I put out a box.
So that's like why either it's, or.
Yeah, either or. Yeah.
So I think this week, what's smart about it is that we have you, and you have a fan base. So we wanted to hear back from your fan base as to what exactly they'd like to hear from you. So as an interracial couple, what are some of the questions you get tired of hearing about?
Assumptions.
What? You can start.
There is a lot.
Yeah.
To begin with, there is a lot. The first one that we get a lot is, of course, about finances.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mostly
they think all I do is sit in the house and she rents money on my head.
I wish.
Yeah.
You wish it was raining. Raining euros. In the Tile household. Just one more. Spanish dineros. Pesos.
Give me pesos.
Give me pesos, man.
I wish I was as rich as people think I am. I wish. I'm getting there, but not yet.
Yeah.
But then also sometimes they say that I must be with him because of his money too. Yeah. So it's like, which way is it?
Yeah, they can't just believe it's like love. Yeah, they just it has to be an agenda.
Money,
that's what they think.
The reason, one way or the other, you know. So it's mostly about that. It's mostly around finances and money. I would say.
Why do you think that is? Is it because that here we have such a mindset problem or scarcity mindset problem where, you know, we think that love only happens because there's money in a relationship? Is that the mindset that you think people are trying to like kind of push on you and project on you? Or what reasons would you think? What reasons do you think that would be? Why would that conversation take that tone?
Okay, I think it is the case in many interracial relationships. Maybe like a sugar daddy type of thing.
Yeah.
Like I think that definitely exists. So I can see why people can have that perception, but it's definitely not the case for us. So
yeah.
And also I think like the dating scene in Kenya, especially, revolves around money a lot. So maybe that's another reason.
So you're just victim of like other people's narratives being pushed sort of onto you.
Yeah.
And how do you like deal with that as a couple? Or does it not really get in the door? It sort of stays out.
I mean, there's not much you can do about what other people think or say.
No, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, as long as we're good.
That's all that matters. Yeah, just keep it pushing.
We don't really care about it.
Honestly,
I feel like this love is very pure. You're here, you're feeling it.
I'm familiar with the jealousy. I feel
like there's a pure love. Yeah, I'm feeling it's like you don't even talk to us about money, man. We're busy building a relationship,
exactly.
Honestly,
and so the question I have to ask is, how did you two meet and where did this beautiful love story start?
It starts way back in 2019 when I came to Kenya for the first time. I was interning in the Spanish embassy here. And I started dancing when I came. Yeah, I wasn't a dancer before. contrary to popular belief. Many people think that I've been dancing. Yeah. So then, yeah, I just met him because I was looking for like a dance instructor and stuff.
My guy.
I bumped into him like through Instagram.
Yeah.
At first, I didn't even like DM him. Just, you know, I genuinely wanted to like learn how to dance. So then, yeah, I slid into the DM. And then,
how long did it take to slide? How long was that?
The boy. He's just giving the look for you. Know it. You know, you thought it was me. Here's an assumption. I am not the problem.
He said, look under the shirt.
I was living life.
It was really slid, but not within any intentions, I promise.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Tilly, believe that? Do you believe that? She slid with no intentions. You don't care.
And now she's a fantastic dancer.
No, she dances excellently.
Honestly, props to him. Because you should have seen me back in the day. Like, it was tough. But we made it, so it's fine. And yeah, that's how we met. Like, through him teaching me how to dance. I was obsessed with dancing. I mean, I still are, but like, you know, in the beginnings, when you're just trying to get better and everything. So I would go to his studio every day I was there. So, you know, between moves and all
We will watch Step Up.
Step Up 1, Step Up 2, Step Up 3. Every day she's stepping up. Tile, tell us, for you, what was your perspective of meeting her? How did that happen?
It's basically the same thing. So she hit me up for classes.
Okay, but you liked me before we met?
Okay, like, before we met?
I think we were chatting for a while.
There's the truth.
My guy.
I mean, of course. So at that point, I was in my hustle element. I was still trying to build my brand, my Dance 98. So I was very, very focused, I could say. It was in the beginning, and you know everything in the beginning, you need everything. I had like 1, 2, 3 clients, so it's like fourth one, why not? That's everything I need. But then after 1, 2, 3 classes, I'm like, okay.
There may be a bit more here than some hip swing.
I mean, after a few classes, you can feel the connection. It's undeniable.
I like that word,
undeniable.
We like that word, undeniable.
So we just decided to go on with it.
It was pretty obvious.
So how did you move from being just a dance teacher to like getting into a relationship? How did you ask her out?
I'm very straightforward. I don't really beat around the bushes. I like you. Would you like to be my girlfriend?
Nice.
That's it.
Nice.
Martina, how did that happen?
I'm taking it.
Give us paint a bigger picture.
Honestly, so at that point, I wasn't planning to stay in Kenya. I was coming for my internship and then I was leaving back to Spain to do my master's or whatever life was gonna throw at me. So then I met him like 2 months before I had to leave. So at first I didn't want to get into a relationship because, you know, like, I'm leaving, like, what are you doing, really, you know?
Pressure, huh?
So I, so he wanted me, I was like, you know, like, I don't know, like, And I remember there was a day, I'm not remembering this, like, I had forgotten about this. But there's a day that he was like, look, like, yes or no, like.
Straightforward.
Yeah.
Straightforward.
Like, because also, I guess he didn't want to, like, get more invested, and then I was going to leave and go to Spain and forget about him, you know? So then I was like, okay, yes, let's do it, you know? I was like, let's see, you know?
And what was the first thing that, like, sparked the interest? The first thing that you noticed about each other? So, say, when she came to dance class, when you went from the third dance class, what was the thing that you said, okay, there's something here? What did you first notice?
I mean, for me, I am very, very much attracted to smart people. You know, like you talk to someone just for 1, 2, 3 days, you start feeling the, you know, the level of intelligence and stuff like that.
So it's the brains.
For you, it was about the brains.
Before the brains.
You didn't like her for personality. You didn't like her for the personality or the dancing.
You couldn't see the personality.
You couldn't see the personality.
You have to see first before you can.
You have to see before you can see. You know, BN says in his album,
yeah.
Don't ask me vile niligonga, uliza vile niliona.
Yes. Don't go with your head, go with your eyes or something. Yeah.
Okay. Let's progress the conversation into dance and dance as a passion, right? Chile, how did you discover dance? And because dance is what led you to her in many ways.
Yeah.
So how did you discover dance, and how did you kind of, how did you find it, and how did you foster it to bring it, to attract her to you?
Well, I was brought up in a children's home.
What?
Yeah. I was raised in a children's
you
home.
You didn't do your research.
So one of the things we used to do is to perform for donors. You know, you had to give something back, basically. So that's now where I started dancing. I was like 7. Yeah. So since then, dance just was part of me, you know.
Yeah.
And how did you open a studio from being 7 dancing? How did you get to doing your own studio? You said Dance 98.
Yeah, because when I was still in the slums, I would watch these movies, you know, people dancing in the studios. I'd be like, I would love to have this.
Yeah.
And I take my phone and be like, let me check one studio.
Right. Yeah.
And then I see like classes are like 3K. Yeah. My rent is 1K.
And so how many classes are like the maths?
You know, so I'm like, I think I am unable to attend a studio by myself, but maybe I should just open one.
Right, okay. And then you're posting online to now bring people before you got the studio.
Back then I was not so big, so it was just a matter of trying everything you can, talking to anyone, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was always the goal. Dance was always the what you wanted to do from 7. Yeah. Finding your purpose at 7.
Yeah. For me, it's also the journey from a children's home. And then through dance, which is very unconventional.
I can
imagine the amount of resistance you faced in your life when you're saying, I want to dance.
You know, I had to drop out of school to...
There it is.
Out of campus, actually. Second year, I was like...
He was doing computer science.
These 2 years, I think I can do something with dance way, way better than school, because I felt like it was too slow. I felt like the progress in school was too slow. I wanted to learn very fast and very patient. So I was like, let me just go.
The fees, like the
yeah, and of course the school fees, it was up and down, you know, donor stuff, you know, there isn't. So I was like, I don't like the way it's...
unstable.
Yeah, I have a problem with that. I just like being very sure of what I'm doing, where I'm going. So I was like, I think dance, I can do it with myself.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
Because I understand, where exactly was this children's home?
It's a place called Joska.
Joska.
After Roy. I don't know if you know Roy.
I know Roy.
We know Roy very well.
He knows Roy.
We know Roy very well. Yes.
Yeah.
So from Joska.
I do, genuinely.
I'm first of all, I'm impressed.
Yeah.
And you took a very unconventional route, a route of high resistance.
Yeah.
At what point did you start funding yourself to build a studio? How many clients did you take to walk us through the journey of I've left campus. Now I need to start a studio. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. So first of all, you know, I had to tell my family, because I was the only person in my family who had gone to campus. So my big brother was mad.
And your family is
like,
in the children's
big
home.
Mad. You know, it was like, you're not serious.
It
was like, at least finish these 2 years and then give our mom at least a degree. You know, and I was like, nah, I would rather build a house than give her papers.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I would rather do that. So now I dropped, and then that means I had to now go back, because I used to live in Rongai. So I had to go back now to Kibra, where I was comfortable, like basically in my element.
In your element in Kibra.
Exactly.
That's not not a normal sentence.
That's why I could do everything without any... That's why I was raised. That's why I knew. Like, for you to be able to go somewhere where you don't know, you have to come back to the center first. It's like,
come back to the center.
Now I know the directions better.
So Kibra was your center. This is where you felt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my guy.
Kibra's home.
Yeah. And now I even started teaching kids in the hood. There was just a friend of mine, he gave me his house. He was like,
yeah.
Where did the, because as you're telling this story, there's so much like surety and confidence in what you want to do.
Yeah.
Who put that inside like that. You from
He's
a child?
Always like that.
I've always been like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It was self-taught. It was just something that came out.
Always. You know, a lot of people ask me, what's your inspiration? It's problems, my friend.
Wow. Yeah.
Problems.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
just push you. I don't need anybody or anything.
Yeah.
Nimashida.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Also, I feel like he grew up in an environment where he couldn't really rely on anyone.
Right.
So yeah. when so you are the a... only person you can rely on, the self-confidence is a must. Like it comes, you know? So I think that's why.
We always say on here, we've said this for like all these seasons and we've never had a perfect example. Or we always say it's not your fault, but it's your responsibility how you react to your scenario.
Yeah.
And you've literally just embodied that.
Yeah.
We finally have proof. Jesus Christ.
For anyone who's watching this.
Thank you.
You know, there's a lot of people who are watching this from home and they think when he says Kibra, it sounds like this fancy estate in London. Guys,
Google it.
Like we're going to insert a video. I think we'll have to look for a clip
you
and insert it here
context,
to give you the context of what exactly he's saying in terms of that's your natural habitat. It's the for me, I think Kibra is the hardest place on earth, on God's green earth. I don't think there's a place that's as hard to be in or as hard to live in as Kibra. And for you to say that, that's where you had to go and start afresh. It's and you've reached this stage. It's a testament to your resilience and to your mindset. So shout out to you for being
the fact you said that it's like the hardest place on earth. I'm very curious, right, from someone who's lived it, is there a misconception or does community carry everyone? What's the how did it become your natural, like the place where you felt safe?
Is it actually
I mean there is a lot of misconceptions about Kibra, but I mean they say rumors they have a base. So life is very difficult there, I won't lie.
It's very difficult. Regardless, there was still a sense of this is my community.
Especially for me, it was a bit tricky because that I felt more comfortable there, but then I didn't really want to associate with my friends a lot from there. So I used to go outside more because I don't want now to feel comfortable being there.
You always thought a bit bigger than
I just wanted to be in a place where I can work comfortably but no one to feel like I'm already there, like all my friends they just sit around and you know do drugs and stuff like that. So we'll just be like, hey, cheers and I pass.
I'm going to dance
Yeah.
It was always like that.
Wow.
Out, I'm back at like 11 or something.
Yeah,
crazy.
Yeah.
So where was the studio that you
So the studio was in Lavington now.
Clever guy.
Because that was the goal, basically.
Wow.
So you moved.
So I approached
like the person he wants to be. You know?
I approached a friend of mine now in the he had a gym there. So I said, I don't really have much I can offer, but I trust myself so much, and I believe in like 1 year.
Wow.
I will be in a very good place, and this dance thing will, this dance studio will be big, you know. So I was like, for now, whatever I get, we split into half. That's the only thing I can offer. I get five, we split five. I get 10, it gets five, you know. So and he was like, let's go, because the thing is with me, most people see it very fast. You see it very fast. 2-3 days, you can see my work ethic very fast. So he was like, take it.
You know? So your work ethic is what's been driving you. And your motivation is problems.
1 year, we were almost getting kicked out of that place because of noise. Too many people in the studio.
My gosh.
And Martina was one of those people.
Yeah.
Well, I was one of the first people, I want to say. Like, when I made him, he was still in Kibra.
Yeah.
He was, like, there was no, like, established dance idea thing or anything. You know, so,
While this is going on, now, this is happening here.
Yeah.
We've got Tile's context of like upbringing, love, falling in love with dance. How, what was your journey before you came to Nairobi?
While to be honest, going... okay, my story is not that inspiring. I'm sorry. I've lived a pretty normal life in an European country.
But that's the idea. That's the idea. Yeah, that's like, the contrast we want to paint.
You know, my childhood was nice. I went to... a normal school, you know. Yeah. I had Christmas gifts and everything. I don't know, like, it was just normal. I always knew I wanted to live outside of Spain. Mm. I always wanted to, like, travel and, you know. So I studied international relations in Madrid. And then
that's... Shout out Real. Come on.
That's how I got now the internship to come to Nairobi. And I was applying. I applied to many destinations like Habana. That would have been nice. Habana, Indonesia, and like a few others. But then they rejected me of all of them. I don't know why. Like, I was a good student and I had good English, so I was like, right. And then at the end they gave me Nairobi. And as soon as I saw like in the email Nairobi, I was like, yeah. Like, it made sense. Makes sense. Like, yeah, like, that's where I was supposed to go, you know? So then, yeah, I just left. And then, yeah, I had a lot of fun that first time in Kenya.
Like, yes, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, I was still under my parents' wing and everything, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I've lived a pretty comfortable life.
Yeah.
I can't lie. Okay. So, when I met him, now I'm like, wow, like, it really didn't scare me, like, where he came from, you know? And I wasn't familiar with something like that, but I don't know, it really didn't scare me. Now, looking back, I'm like, are you crazy?
But I think, Loki, that might be one of the things, because even as he's telling the story, she's like, yeah, my man. You know, it's like, maybe it was actually a factor that drew you to him. Because I think in any guy, seeing stability drive, it's going to attract you straight away. You know what I mean?
It's, as he says, like, you can tell. Like, if you are with him, like, for a couple of days, it's like, you can tell. So even when he had nothing back then, it's like, you could tell? I don't know why. Like, I don't know really. Yeah. Like, you couldn't pinpoint, but it's like...
Mdogo.
No,
calma.
You know, exactly.
Amazing.
So, we just decided to stick together. I like to think I was a catalyst to his success.
No, of course.
Not to take credit or anything, but I think...
Claro.
Amazing.
So, you know, yeah.
Yeah. Enter social media to the conversation.
She has this guy from... She has this guy from Kibera speaking Spanish. Hey, let me tell you something. It's about who you marry, my boys.
Juxtaposition. Hey.
Bia, this is a lovely podcast.
That's beautiful. Beautiful. So now at this stage, the reason we know you is because of digital.
Yeah.
And you said that you weren't really posting at that time. When did you start to sit down and say, okay, I'm doing this dance thing to grow. I need to use digital and social media. What was that journey like? Your introduction to, I think TikTok was the first place I saw you guys.
For me, it was, even back then, I say I wasn't big, but I had like 15,000 followers. So I was still
That's big.
Yeah, that's big.
He's always been that guy.
I was
popular, but I was even more popular on the streets. You know, for example, in Kibra, most people knew me without social media. You get? Yeah, because I was always everywhere doing my stuff and things like that.
Right. So they just translated now onto digital after.
But I was still very good and even on social media. Even when we met, the first video I did, I was like, let's do this exact way. I'm sure you're going to go hard. The video got 1 million views.
What?
On YouTube.
On YouTube. And he had like 3,000 subs at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you know it was going to blow?
Yeah. For me, I knew, but not that much. In my head, I was like 50 to 100K.
Yeah.
A million.
Trust me, my guy. Like, when the chemistry is on screen, it's crazy.
It's undeniable. Huh?
Yeah. Like, he just knows, like, he had it studied. Like, even back then, like, he knew what he was doing. You know? So, actually, it was YouTube first. Than TikTok, even before TikTok came into the picture.
I think that's when I was introduced to the brand, that's why,
Because this was 2019, and he had been doing it. Yeah. Like, he used to shoot videos, like, you know, dance videos.
I used to have, 30 dance videos ahead of time. Just the same way you guys are shooting like this. Yeah, I used to have...
Just batch shoot, you know?
Just shoot every single day a dance video in the street, and just post... Later.
On his iPhone, whatever.
5C.
Oh, those were the days.
Yeah. 5C. In Kibra. Yeah. I was the guy.
Yeah, popping. Bro, can't talk to him.
I used to walk with it like this, you know, like.
No fear.
Don't play.
Yeah.
I'm really impressed, Tile. Yeah. I hope you know. I'm just like, I'm really impressed by
it. I appreciate it.
That mindset doesn't come easy. There was a time I walked through. I've seen Kibra a lot in my life. I grew up in South Sea, so I've seen Kibra a lot in my life, and it's a culture of where, yes, people are happy, but it's a very closed culture of people, very intimate culture of people. And to see that they've produced someone who has your mindset, your skill, and you're going after the world literally.
Yeah.
You're saying, I'm dancing every week. I just have what do you have to say to someone who's grown up in Kibra right now, who's watching Man Talk, and who feels like, you know, life is hopeless, especially the economy now, it's very hard.
Yeah.
What would be a piece of advice you'd want to give someone who's watching this and is in a situation where they think is hopeless, but you've beaten harder odds?
Yeah. I mean, I wish I had like a magic potion or a secret word, but there is none. You just have to keep going. Like, but then you have to find something and then go. Otherwise, you'll just be doing circles. You need to find a straight line. That's the easiest way.
Yeah.
You need to find a straight line and now keep moving.
Keep your head down.
Make a plan, stick to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, by a straight line, I mean like put a target and I just go.
Yeah.
Mm. Just go. I mean, there's you if you're in Kibra, you don't have much to lose. You're literally a zero. You're literally a zero. Yeah, because I normally say for people like me, we're born in a situation which is like starting a match at 3-0, you know, so you have to equalize fast.
Yeah.
You know, before you even start thinking about getting to a certain place, you have to equalize fast. By equalizing, just that means you just have to be normal.
Yeah.
Wow. Be able to go to the toilet. That's what I'm talking about. That's the normal I'm talking.
Yeah.
Because it's like you don't even have toilets. So don't even ask how we used to survive.
Yeah, I don't even want to know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. That's what it's I'm like, saying.
It's like you're just chilling in your crib. Boom. You're like, okay.
Yeah, somebody.
That was tough.
You're like,
let me tell you this. At the beginning of the relationship, I used to spend some nights there in Kibra with him. And it's like
in Kibra.
Yeah.
Ah, guys.
Yeah. Obviously. Yeah, he had me here. But like, imagine you just started dating someone, and now you're spending the night, and it's like you have to like. Shit! I don't know if I'm swearing here. Yeah. Like, I don't know if I'm
saying it.
You have to like shit.
Yeah.
You know, and now there is no toilet. You can't go. It's at night, so it's like dangerous outside.
So
imagine, like, you just have to like suck it up the whole night. I'm now just saying this, but it's like it was tough.
Why? I have. What were your parents saying when you called back into Spain and said, "Hey, what was the? How was that?"
Well, they didn't have much to say. I think, like, I don't think they knew, like.
Passione.
Yeah.
Passione. I don't think they knew where he actually lived and everything.
Yeah.
Or maybe they did. I don't remember, but they never had like a bad thing to say about it. Mm. Like, just like be careful, I guess, like don't get like, you know, marked or something.
Exactly.
Yeah. But with him, I felt safe there. Like, nothing would happen.
If I'm ever going to Kibra, this is where I'll go with Chile, bro. If I'm ever going.
We need to have a side podcast.
Because
like, imagine you have...
Yeah.
She's in Kibra at night.
Yeah.
First of all, security in the back of my mind, I'm thinking. Yeah. Security. Mm-hmm. If someone decides to come here and do anything, it's crazy. So... You must be really I think it's a belief in the community. The community must really protect you as well.
That's now my hood.
Yeah.
I mean, she can tell you how fast it takes for me to get the security.
Like just a call and
very fast. There's an incident that happened there, and I just made one call, and within 5 minutes, the whole place was packed because that's my hood now.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah.
I used to just come back even at... that's why for me, when you say it's insecure, that does not apply to me.
Yeah.
Because I can just come back at any time. Even the people I know who are going to mug you.
Yeah.
They'll be like, that's our Msani. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, Msani Etu.
Yeah.
But then I know who you are following me. Tomorrow morning, you don't have shoes.
If you dare. Yeah. If you walk alone.
Yeah.
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 So for me, I was, that's why I'm telling you I had to go back there, because that's the only place I could operate with my peace of mind.
Yeah, because you'd be protected. That's how I see it.
Wow.
Jeez.
So now we've, okay, that's, the story is incredible. So now you, I'm like,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Because I, can so I tell you, just for contrast, like I'm embarrassed. I came to Kenya in 2015 and my dad was like, I need to show you. I've showed you one side. I need to now show you the other. Bro, I drove through, imagine, I've never been to Kibra. I burst into tears just driving through because I'd never seen something like that. So like, I'm just imagining coming from such a different world and then feeling safe in such contrast. It just speaks to the amount of love that was there, and the amount of connection and trust. It's incredible. It's making me think I might just find love.
No, me, you know where she just, you know where she had me?
Yeah.
I felt like, you know, I could hear things drop on the roof.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait a minute, wait.
Yeah.
I thought that, you know, even like you said, like these assumptions that I had about the relationship now that are completely gone.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because she was there with him.
Yeah, exactly.
In a generation where we are busy saying,
preach on it.
Yeah, we're busy saying, oh, if he doesn't give me this, then I don't love him. If he doesn't give me a super much.
He's definitely had his fair share of that too.
Yeah, you know, those things.
Before me, I mean.
Yeah, like in those situations, where like a lot of men are like feel deep financial insecurity that's being instigated by like in the relationship kind of dynamic.
Yeah.
Here we are hearing you coming from Spain, a very stable family, a very... a very like good, stable, predictable upbringing, and a guy who's just going after it in life.
Yeah.
And in the most dire of circumstances, they are finding love.
Yeah.
Mujer.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Itself.
Yeah.
Mujer.
Yeah.
Mujer. There's mujer in Kibra. You know, like there should be a study.
Mm.
You two need to be studied.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen.
Oscar, we've debated this. I'm sorry to bring you into our conflict.
Yes.
But for about 3 years, we've debated about when we meet a woman, we ask Bien the same question.
Yes.
We ask Joel Rao the same question. And I think this is a perfect time to say, I think I'm right. Because we've always said, do you meet a girl when you've achieved everything?
Yeah.
Or do you meet her on the road to achieving and then they go along with you? What do you think now? Because this has been... since this podcast started, we've been debating on every week on live.
This might be the episode.
This is it.
This is it.
This is it.
This is
case closed.
Look at the example.
You got the answer.
Look at the example.
We've been debating.
Yeah. We've been debating.
On this side, where like I want to grind with her and get there because I don't want to meet somebody when I have everything.
You know, first of all,
it's like, what are you meeting for? I have
Who I am, right? Exactly.
I'm bought in. Uh-huh. Tile has changed my mind. I will now find someone to build with.
Like, that's what I'm saying.
Even her, she has to be there. You know, your father running podcasts, being a finance guy, lawyer guy. Yeah. I don't know. I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
you know, for us, that eliminates the question in the relationship. Like, are you in for anything?
So
you can't even ask that question. Both of us know where we've been.
Exactly.
Because also, let me tell you, like,
so true.
When we started, I also had nothing to my name. Like, obviously, I had like a mattress to fall back on if everything fails, you know, which is something he didn't have. But like, really, like,
standing alone.
You know, like, you know what I mean?
That's a very big misconception, by the way.
Yeah.
Most people think she just came in and took me and threw me in Spain and
exactly.
My life.
Not at all.
Yeah. Like,
you just,
we're just two broke people. Like,
just figuring it out.
Actually, I also think that the reason why it didn't scare me or it didn't like make me, you know, don't want nothing to do with him when he was broke and stuff, is because I had that privilege of like my dad has got me in a way.
Yeah, if worse like, comes to worse.
I think many Kenyan women maybe it's like they also have nothing. Like so it's like they you know what I mean? Like that's why they look for a provider or something, because it's like they themselves don't have nothing. And me, I had the privilege of just dating for love because you know, I'm
dating
good.
For love is a privilege. Is that what you think?
I mean, in a way, I guess.
I agree.
But then I also want to say that I also know Spanish women that would never do what I did.
Yeah.
Even though they have like that same privilege.
Mm.
So it's like.
But can these Spanish women dance like you, Tilo? Moving on.
Amazing.
I want to take us now to just to fast forward from that lovely inception and that lovely beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk about building a brand together, because I feel like I can see a lot of you in each other when it comes to how you've built individual brands.
Yeah.
How has that journey been, and what has it been like building a brand in dancing together?
I mean, just like any other brand, it's not an easy task. And especially now, you know, social media, you have to be very keen, because you can get sucked in very fast and decide to go the easy route, which is, of course, clout chasing and stuff like that. Mm. We've always been very careful, and we prefer to be low-key and just be real. You know, just like grow at our pace and keep everything that's supposed to be private, private, and only share what we think or what we want to share. And just build a brand to in the line of this is what we do. You know, it's dance, is if it's a fashion, just that basically.
How did you draw those lines, like this is what we don't share, this is what we do share? How was it, like a sit down conscious decision, or did you just go for it and see what you don't like and then rein it in?
No, we talk about it every single day. We discuss. Sometimes it's like, what do you think about this? And, some I ask her, she asked me. It's like,
I also think like we were always like in the same page about that. Like it wasn't like a conversation. Like we had to agree on. It was just like natural. Like we are not exposing like our the core of our relationship. We just like create content together. That's it. Put out content for people to enjoy, you know?
Yeah. So would you say that's your why, like showcasing people dance? And then also, so I remember there was a time on your page, you were telling people to vote. What kind of content should I make a new page for this? Should I be a mother? Should I just be a dancer?
Yeah.
So what do you think your kind of why is at the moment as a couple and individually with the content that you create?
This decision was like tough for me because I feel like there's so many... hats I put on and like faces and things I do that, you know, normally in social media they say like you find your niche and stick to it and everything, but for me it's like I don't want to find a niche, like I just want to show you everything I do.
Exactly.
You follow me for who I am, not for what I do in a way, or like or because I do this specific thing, you know. So I decided like, look, I'll just put out what I want, and then if people work with it, that's fine. If they don't, that's also fine, like you know. So right now, personally, and I think both of us are in a point in our careers where we generally love what we're doing, like I like making videos and being creative and like providing value for our clients. So that's where we at right now. But it's been a journey, like we haven't always been there,
yeah,
you know, like
you have to start.
At first it was dancing mostly. We love dancing, we love creating, we love shooting videos. That's how most people know us, I think. But yeah, we have branched out a lot from there.
Like individually I've seen, and then also as a collective you've branched out as well. What do you think your sort of why is, the bit of content you enjoy the most giving to people?
You know, for me, I've always been sort of a black sheep for my life. Yeah, so even in content creation, I don't really follow any rules. I just I believe I can do anything I want, you know. If it's dancing, it's posting about being a dad, I can dance with my son. I'm a dancing father. Very simple,
dancing
you
father.
Fashion, I can still dance while I'm dripped out, you know?
Right, got it.
So basically I just go.
Abs, he can dance while doing crunches.
I've done a lot of very viral dance videos
in the gym. You know, exactly that.
So
it's about breaking rules.
I just go. You know,
I want us to talk about branching out, and you have some lovely bags on you.
Yeah.
And you recently.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Thank you for reminding us.
You recently branched out into fashion, yeah. And we saw a designer collection of bags. Yeah. Please tell us about it, because even us, you want bags.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So these are the bags, guys. We are both vaping with it. Yeah. They are funny bags, and they are in collaboration with this Kenyan brand called Iquera. And they have like the whole production is in Kenya. The leather they're made with is also Kenyan from Machakos County. And they're made in Embakasi. So yeah, it's an 100% Kenyan made brand. And yeah, they reached out, they wanted to like put out a product with me. And at first I was hesitant because I was like, like, I don't know, I've never done this, like, what do I do, you know, like. And then she was like, what about a bag, like, Chini, if you're watching this. This is the lady that reached out to me. And she was like, what about a bag, because that's, like, mainly what they do, shoes and bags. And I was like, wait, like, yeah, like, my funny bag.
Yeah,
like, yeah, like, that made so much sense. Like, I've always worn a funny bag, like. Whoever has seen me more than twice in their life knows that I always wear a funny bag, right?
Yeah.
Even like before, like years ago, right? And at first I used to wear like those fabric ones with funny prints and stuff, but they would break very easily, like with keys or any like pointy thing. So then I switched, I bought my first like leather funny bag, and I had that for like 6 years. Well, like, and I would still wear it. I would still wear it right now, but now it's just that I came out with my own, so, you know.
Exactly, yeah.
So, yeah, I'm very proud of them. Like, it's a personal project, you know,
because
it's something I always have loved and wear proudly. And, yeah, now we've come out with a lot of different colors, you know.
Amazing.
For everyone and every occasion.
We'll be getting ours soon.
Yeah.
We'll be getting ours soon.
So, you can buy them www.iquera.com. Thank you.
Amazing. The okay, so bags, one place you've branched into. As we wrap up, I want to know what the goal is for you guys, because the journey coming from where you've come from, achieving what you've done, where are you now looking to get to? What does success look like for you now in the future? Because your parents as well, so
generational wealth.
Hey, I love that sentence. Tag it twice.
That's the goal.
Amazing.
Generational
wealth.
Every time, every time.
Every day, while we're discussing finances, we're like, so where are we? I normally like to say, I'm not poor anymore. I could say I'm rich, but I want to be wealthy.
Yeah,
he gets it.
Very big difference.
Yeah. Three mil, 4-3.
There you go.
So now we're in that process where we're trying to transition from being comfortable to being secure. And the goal is very simple. For someone like me, I've literally grown up without my family around me. My goal is to make sure my son does not experience that in any way.
Exactly.
Being also me, I'm the only person in my family who has been able to achieve this kind of success, I would say. It's very difficult because you have to come up with anyone, everyone around you, you know. So it's very tricky because you have to...
It's heavy. The tax is heavy.
You know, at some point you have to pick, you know. And for me... I'm always leaning towards making sure that my son won't pick, you know.
Amazing.
That means if it comes to my parents and me, I will build me so that my son does not have to make the same choices again. You get. That's and it's cool. It's a very, very difficult level, I could say, because at some point you're like, I really, they really need it, but I also need it. But then my son looks like he doesn't need it, but if I don't do it for me now,
he'll be right back trying to.
Later, I'll be doing the same thing now while he has his own son trying to,
exactly,
you know. Yeah, yes. So
yeah, breaking generational curses takes a lot.
Exactly.
A lot.
And that's exactly what you're doing, where, yeah, you're like, you're trying to protect your family from the pain of its past to,
yeah,
a new future. And mm-hmm, we, it's very motivating. Like I said, Tilly, I'm, yeah, very impressed. Like,
yeah, Oscar is a new man.
Yeah, seriously.
I am extremely, because you see, I can contextualize,
yeah, yeah,
a lot of what, you know, what you're saying.
Yeah.
And I really wish you the best, because as a father, as a businessman, as a couple,
yeah,
here on Mantok, we will always open our doors for you. Oh, and shit, we really, really have to get these bags, because now they, mm-hmm, represent,
yeah,
more.
Yeah, yeah, this is for,
yeah, this is for Tiago, guys.
Yeah, like, yeah, Tiago, exactly. Yeah.
This is for Tiago. Is such a nice name.
Such, yeah, a nice name. Listen.
Like it?
Yeah, Tiago.
Yeah, oh my God. Yeah,
I've just, so, been, like, asked your name. You say Tiago.
Tiago. Yeah, yeah, be careful. And he's hard. Yeah, he's a hard, listen, guy. Yeah. Don't ask me. Don't make me turn into my dad. Yeah. You're making a sweet one. So, like, yeah, huge, huge props to you, my guys.
Thank you. And
thank you so much for coming on Man Talk, mm, and sharing your story with us.
Yeah.
If you're watching this from home, like, share, subscribe. Mm-hmm. Remember, yes, to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And remember to get yourself one of the bags.
Yeah. Yeah.
And enjoy the festive season. I think this is another beautiful story that we've gotten to tell.
Yeah. I want to just say, give you your flowers as well. I think a lot of the time when, and this is what we want to dispel with Man Talk by having different people on, a lot of the time people think like a real man is someone who's loud, who's showy, who talks too much. But I like the quiet stillness and confidence that you give, because I think in that stillness, you bring security. Yeah. And ultimately, that's what a man is. Somebody that's going to create stability for people around him. So I think a lot of guys that probably follow you or watch your extended conversation here and be inspired to go a different route about being a proper man.
Yeah.
And in doing so, they'll achieve what you've achieved and have a lovely wife like you have as well, and hopefully a better life in general. So thank you for taking the time.
I don't think they'll be able to have a lovely wife like her, because
he knows what to say. He's skilled.
That title is for her only.
Nobody else
knows what to say. So I'm inspired too.
They can try have their own versions,
their own version. That's what we'll say.
This one is taken.
Yeah.
The bus is gone.
The bus is already gone.
I love that so much.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this is Christmas.
This is Boxing Day.
This is Boxing Day. So I hope you enjoyed your Christmas.
Yeah.
We're probably sat on the couch right now, just bloated from our Christmas dinner. So I hope you are too.
Same.
Yeah. And we hope you've enjoyed this episode
half as much
as we've enjoyed making it.
Because we have had a ball.
Merry Christmas, guys.
Merry Christmas. Yeah. Enjoy your festive season.
Woo! Hello, guys. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to mantalk.ke. Thank you for coming back for another week, for another good conversation. Now, we're here in Kafisi, Riverside Square, and we're about to interview. No, it's not going to be an interview. It's a chat with some incredible people that Oscar will introduce. Do your thing, buddy.
Welcome to another episode of Man Talk this festive season.
Hi,
a fantastic
Christmas
conversation to unbox. Another one, obviously, with Tile Pak, bro.
Pack, bro.
And Martina Gles.
Uh-huh.
I say Gles, like Iglesias or Gonzalez.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you know, we are very excited to have them. These are lovely dancers, content creators, and lately fashion designers, as we'll soon come to find out. Really excited to have you. Pack, bro. Tile.
Yeah.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling all right.
How are you feeling? You feeling good?
Yeah, I'm feeling good.
How's life treating you?
Pretty well, I could say.
Welcome to Mind Talk. Martina, how are you feeling?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you for having us.
We're really excited to have
you. We're about to have a lot of fun, guys. We're about to have a lot of fun. It's good to be in the company of friends. It's like people we're familiar with. It's going to be a good conversation, not an interview. It's going to be a chat. So what we do at the beginning of every episode, you're familiar by now, is we play the unpopular opinion of the week. Now, we've not heard this one.
Okay.
Let's run it and then we just discuss. Okay, we have no idea what's being said. Okay, here we go. Volume up, brains on. Let's go.
As interracial couples, what are some of the assumptions and questions they constantly get tired of hearing?
Okay, well, I can't speak to that.
As an interracial couple, what are some of the questions?
Is this an unpopular opinion, though, or just a question?
It's a question.
Is it a question, unpopular opinion? You put out a box.
I put out a box.
So that's like why either it's, or.
Yeah, either okay. or. Yeah.
So I think this week, what's smart about it is that we have you, and you have a fan base. So we wanted to hear back from your fan base as to what exactly they'd like to hear from you. So as an interracial couple, what are some of the questions you get tired
assumptions,
of hearing about?
Assumptions.
Mm. Assumptions. Well, you can start.
there's a lot.
Yeah.
To begin with, there's a lot. The first one that we get a lot is, of course, about finances.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mostly
they think all I do is sit in the house and she rains money on my head.
Yeah.
I wish.
Like the
wow.
I wish.
Yeah.
You wish it was raining. Raining euros. In the Tile household. Just one more. Spanish dineros. Pesos.
Give me pesos.
Give me pesos.
I wish I was as rich as people think I am. I wish. I'm getting there, but not yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then also sometimes they say that I must be with him because of his money too.
Yeah.
So it's like, which way is it? Which way is it?
Yeah, they can't just believe it's like love.
Yeah.
They just it has to be an agenda.
Money.
That's what they
it's
think.
The reason.
Yeah.
One way
yeah.
or the other, you know?
Mm.
So it's mostly about that. It's mostly around finances and money.
Yeah,
I would
cheers.
Say.
Why do you think that is? Is it because that here we have such a mindset problem or scarcity mindset problem where, you know, we think that love only happens because there's money in a relationship?
Mm.
Is that the mindset that you think people are trying to like kind of push on you and project on you?
Mm.
Or what reasons would you think, what reasons do you think that would be? Why would that conversation take that tone?
Okay, I think it is the case in many interracial relationships. Maybe like a sugar daddy type of thing.
Yeah.
Like, I think
yeah.
that definitely exists.
Yeah.
So I can see why people can have that perception, but it's definitely not the case for us. So,
yeah.
And also I think like the dating scene in Kenya, especially revolves around money a lot.
Yeah.
So maybe that's another reason. Mm.
So you're just victim of like other people's narratives being pushed sort of onto you.
Yeah.
And how do you like deal with that as a couple? Or does it not really get in the door? It sort of stays out.
I mean, there's not much you can do about what other people think or say.
No, exactly.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, as long as we're good.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
Yeah. You just keep it pushing.
Yeah, we don't really care about it.
Yeah.
Not much.
Yeah.
I feel like this love is very pure. You're here. You're feeling. Are you feeling?
I'm familiar. I'm familiar with the jealousy
like,
I feel.
Like the,
this pure
there's
love.
A, there's a pure love. Yeah. I'm feeling. It's like you don't even talk to us about money, man. We're busy building a relationship.
Exactly.
Honestly.
And so the question I have to ask is, how did you two meet, and where did this beautiful love story start?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It starts way back in 2019 when I came to Kenya for the first time. I was interning in the Spanish embassy here. And I started dancing when I came. Yeah, I wasn't a dancer before. Contrary to popular belief, many people think that I've been dancing.
Yeah.
So then, yeah, I just met him because I was looking for like a dance instructor and stuff. And I bumped into him like through Instagram.
Yeah.
At first I didn't even like DM him, just you know, I genuinely wanted to like learn how to dance. So then I slid into the DM. And then...
How long did it take to slide? How long was it?
The boy. He's just giving the look for you.
You
know it.
You
thought it was me. Here's an assumption. I am not the problem.
He said, look under the shirt.
I was living life.
It was really slid, but not within any intentions, I promise.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Tilly, do you believe that? Do you believe that? She slid with
that
no intentions.
That's how it ended.
Yeah?
You don't care.
And now she's a fantastic dancer.
No, she does excellently.
Honestly, props to him. Like, because you should have seen me back in the day. Like,
it was
tough. But we made it, so it's fine.
Mm.
And yeah, that's how we met. Like, through him teaching me how to dance. I was obsessed with dancing.
Mm.
I mean, I still are, but like, you know, in the beginnings when you're just trying to get better and everything. So I would go to his studio every day I was there.
Mm.
So, you know, between moves and all that.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
We watch Step Up.
Hey. Step Up 1, Step Up 2, Step Up 3. Every day she's stepping up. Tile, tell us, for you, what was your perspective of meeting her? How did that happen?
It's basically the same thing. So she hit me up for classes.
Okay, but you liked me before we met?
Before we met?
I think we were chatting for a while.
So there's the truth.
My guy.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, of course. So at that point, I was in my hustle element. I was still trying to build my brand, my Dance 98. So I was very, very focused, I could say. It was in the beginning, and you know everything in the beginning, you need everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I had like 1, 2, 3 clients. So it's like, fourth one, why not?
Yeah.
You know, that's everything I need. But then after 1, 2, 3 classes, I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Okay. There may be a bit more here than some hip swing.
I mean, after a few classes, you can feel the connection. It's undeniable.
I like that word, undeniable. We like that word, undeniable.
So we just decided to go on with it.
It was pretty obvious.
So how did you move from being just a dance teacher to like getting into a relationship? How did you ask her out?
I'm very straightforward. Very straightforward. I don't really beat around the bushes. I like you. Would you like to be my girlfriend?
Nice.
That's it.
Nice. Martina, how did that happen? I'm taking it. Paint a bigger picture.
Honestly, so at that point, I wasn't planning to stay in Kenya. I was coming for my internship and then I was leaving back to Spain to do my master's or whatever life was going to throw at me. So then I met him like 2 months before I had to leave. So at first I didn't want to get into a relationship because, you know, like, I'm leaving, like, what are you doing, really, you know?
Pressure, huh?
So I, so he wanted me, I was like, you know, like, I don't know, like, And I remember there was a day, I'm not remembering this, like, this, I had forgotten about this. But there is a day that he was like, look, like, yes or no, like.
That's straightforward.
Yeah.
Straightforward.
Like, because also, I guess he didn't want to, like, get more invested, and then I was going to dip and go to Spain and forget about him, you know? So then I was like, okay, yes, let's do it, you know? Let's see, you know?
Yeah. And what was the first thing that, like, sparked the interest? The first thing that you noticed about each other? So say when she came to dance class, when you went from the third dance class, what was the thing that you said, okay, there's something here? What did you first notice?
I mean, for me, I am very, very much attracted to smart people. You know, like you talk to someone just for 1, 2, 3 days, you start feeling the level of intelligence and stuff like that.
So for you, it was about the brains.
Before the brains.
You didn't like her for the personality or the dancing.
You couldn't see the personality.
You couldn't see the personality.
You have to see first before you can.
You have to see before
I'm
you can
you.
See.
I'm with you. Assess,
you know,
have to be a 10.
You know, BN says in his album,
yeah.
Don't ask me vile niligonga, uliza vile niliona.
Yes. Don't go with your head, go with your eyes or something.
Let's progress the conversation into dance and dance as a passion, right? Chile, how did you discover dance? And because dance is what led you to her in many ways.
Yeah.
So how did you discover dance and how did you find it and how did you foster it to bring it, to attract her to you?
Well, I was brought up in a children's home.
What?
Yeah. I was raised in a children's home.
You didn't do your research.
So one of the things we used to do is to perform for donors. You know, you had to give something back, basically. So that's now where I started dancing. I was like 7. Yeah. So since then, dance just was part of me, you know.
Yeah.
And how did you open a studio from being 7 dancing? How did you get to doing your own studio? You said Dance 98.
Yeah, because when I was still in the slums, I would watch these movies, you know, people dancing in the studios. I'd be like, I would love to have this.
Yeah.
And I take my phone and be like, let me check one studio.
Right. Yeah.
And then I see like classes are like 3K. Yeah. My range is 1K.
And so how many classes are like, the maths.
You know, so I'm like, I think I am unable to attend a studio by myself, but maybe I should just open one.
Right, okay. And then you're posting online to now bring people before you got the studio.
I mean, back then I was not so big, so it was just a matter of trying everything you can, talking to anyone, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was always the goal. Dance was always what you wanted to do from seven. Yeah. Finding your purpose at seven.
Yeah. For me, it's also the journey from a children's home. And then through dance, which is very unconventional.
I can
imagine the amount of resistance you faced in your life when you're saying, I want to dance.
You know, I had to drop out of school to... out of campus, actually. Second year, I was like...
He was doing computer science.
These 2 years, I think I can do something with dance way, way better than school, because I felt like it was too slow. I felt like the progress in school was too slow. I wanted to learn very fast and very patient. So I was like, let me just go.
The fees, like
yeah, and of course the school fees, it was up and down, you know, doing stuff, you know, there isn't. So I was like, I don't like the way it's...
Unstable.
Yeah, I have a problem with that. I just like being very sure of what I'm doing, where I'm going. So I was like, I think dance, I can do it with myself.
Can you imagine that? Yeah. Because I understand, where exactly was this children's home?
It's a place called Joska. Joska. After Ruai. I don't know if you know Ruai.
I know Ruai.
We know Ruai very well.
He knows Ruai.
We know Ruai very well. Yes.
Yeah.
So from Joska.
I do, genuinely.
First of all, I'm impressed.
Yeah.
And you took a very unconventional route, a route of high resistance.
Yeah.
At what point did you start funding yourself to build a studio? How many clients did you take to walk us through the journey of I've left campus. Now I need to start a studio. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. So first of all, you know, I had to tell my family, because I was the only person in my family who had gone to campus. So my big brother was mad.
Mm-hmm. And your family is
like,
in the children's
big
home.
Mad. Mm. You know, I was like, you're not serious. Mm. He was like, at least finish these 2 years and then give our mom at least a degree. You know, and I was like, nah, I would rather build a house than give out papers.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm like, I would rather do that. So now I dropped, and then that means I had to now go back, because I used to live in Rongai. So I had to go back now to Kibra, where I was comfortable, like basically in my element.
Mm. Yeah. In your element in Kibra.
Exactly.
Mm. That's not that's not a normal sentence.
That's why I could do everything without any. That's why I was raised. That's why I knew. Like, for you to be able to go somewhere where you don't know, you have to come back to the center first. It's like,
back Kibra to the center,
now I know the directions better.
So Kibra was your center. This is where you felt, my guy.
And now I even started teaching kids in the hood. There was just a friend of mine, he gave me his house. He was like,
Where did the, because
as you're telling this story, there's so much like surety and confidence in what you want to do.
Yeah.
Who put that inside you from a child?
Always like that.
I've always been like that. Yeah. It was self-taught. It was just something that came out.
Always. You know, a lot of people ask me, what's your inspiration? It's problems, my friend.
Wow. Yeah.
Problems.
Yeah.
They just push you. I don't need anybody or anything.
Yeah.
Limashida.
Yeah.
Also, I feel like he grew up in an environment where he couldn't really rely on anyone.
Right.
So when you are the only person you can rely on, the self-confidence is a must. Like, it comes, you know? So I think that's why.
We always say on here, we've said this for like all these seasons, and we've never had a perfect example. Or we always say it's not your fault, but it's your responsibility how you react to your scenario.
Yeah.
And 100%. You've literally just embodied that.
Yeah.
We finally have proof. Jesus Christ.
For anyone who's watching this.
Thank you.
You know, there's a lot of people who are watching this from home, and they think when he says Kibra, it sounds like this fancy estate in London. Guys,
Google it.
Like, we're going to insert a video. I think we'll have to look for a clip and insert it here to give you the context of what exactly he's saying in terms of that's your natural habitat. It's the for me, I think Kibra is the hardest place on earth. On God's green earth, I don't think there's a place that's as hard to be in or as hard to live in as Kibra. And for you to say that that's where you had to go and start afresh. It's and you've reached this stage. It's a testament to your resilience and to your mindset. So shout out to you for being
The fact you said that it's like the hardest place on earth, I'm very curious, right, from someone who's lived it, is there a misconception, or does community carry everyone? What's the, how did it become your natural, like the place where you felt safe?
Is it actually doing?
I mean, there is a lot of misconceptions about Kibra.
Yeah.
But I mean, they say rumors, they have a base. So life is very difficult there, I won't lie.
But regardless, there was still a sense of this is my community.
Especially for me, it was a bit tricky because that I felt more comfortable there, but then I didn't really want to associate with my friends a lot from there. So I used to go outside more because I don't want now to feel comfortable being there.
You always thought a bit
I just wanted to be in a place where I can work comfortably, but no one to feel like I'm already there. Like all my friends, they just sit around and you know, do drugs and stuff like that. Yeah. So we'll just be like, hey, cheers, cheers, and I pass.
Wow. I'm going to the dance, huh?
Yeah.
It was always like that.
Wow.
Out, I'm back at like 11 or something.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So where was the studio that
So the studio was in Lavington now.
Clever guy.
Because that was the goal, basically.
Wow.
So you moved.
So I approached
like the person who wants to be. You
yeah. I approached a friend of mine now in the, he had a gym there. So I said, I don't really have much I can offer, but I trust myself so much. And I believe in like 1 year, I will be in a very good place. And this dance thing will, this dance studio will be big, you know. So I was like, for now, whatever I get, we split into half. That's the only thing I can offer. I get five, we split five. I get 10. It gets five, you know. So, and he was like, let's go. Because the thing is with me, most people see it very fast. Two, 3 days, you can see my work ethic very fast. So it was like, take it.
You know? So your work ethic is what's been driving you. Yeah. And your motivation is problems.
1 year, we were almost getting kicked out of that place because of noise, too many people in the studio.
My gosh.
And Martina was one of those people.
Yeah.
Well, I was one of the first people, I want to say. Like, when I made him, he was still in Kibra.
Yeah.
He was, like, there was no, like, established Dance 98 thing or anything. You know, so,
While this is going on, now, this is happening here.
Yeah.
We've got Tile's context of, like, upbringing, love, falling in love with dance. How, what was your journey before you came to Nairobi?
While to be honest, going... okay, my story is not that inspiring. I'm sorry. I've lived a pretty normal life in an European country.
But that's the idea. That's the idea. Yeah, that's like, the contrast we want to paint.
You know, my childhood was nice. I went to a normal school, you know. I had had Christmas gifts and everything. I don't know, like, it was just normal. I always knew I wanted to live outside of Spain. I always wanted to, like, travel and, you know. So I studied international relations in Madrid. And then
that's not real. Come on.
That's how I got now the internship to come to Nairobi. And I was applying, I applied to many destinations like Havana, that would have been nice. Havana, Indonesia, and like a few others. But then they rejected me of all of them. I don't know why. Like, I was a good student and I had good English, so I was like, And then at the end, they gave me Nairobi. And as soon as I saw, like, in the email, Nairobi, I was like, like, it made sense. I was like, like, that's where I'm supposed to go, you know? So then, I just left. And then, I had a lot of fun that first time in Kenya.
Like,
Because, you know, I was still under my parents' wing and everything, you know. I've lived a pretty comfortable life.
Yeah.
I can't lie. So, so when I met him, now I'm like, wow, like, it really didn't scare me, like, where he came from, you know. And I wasn't familiar with something like that. But... I don't know, it just didn't scare me. Now, looking back, I'm like, are you crazy?
But I think, Loki, that might be one of the things, because even as he's telling the story, she's like,
She's,
it's like, maybe it was actually a factor that drew you to him. Because I think in any guy, seeing stability, drive, it's going to attract you straight away, you know what I mean?
It's, as he says, like, you can tell. Like, if you are with him, like, for a couple of days, it's like, you can tell. So even when he had nothing back then, it's like you could tell. I don't know why. Like I don't know really. Yeah. Like you couldn't pinpoint, but it's like
mdogo mdogo.
Calma.
You know exactly.
Amazing.
So we just decided to stick together. I like to think I was a catalyst to his success.
Yeah, of course.
Mm. Not to take credit or anything, but I think
Claro.
Amazing.
So, you know,
enter social media to the conversation.
She has this guy from She has this guy from Kibera speaking Spanish. Hey, let me tell you something. It's about who you marry, my boys.
Juxtaposition.
You know.
Yeah, this is a lovely podcast.
That's beautiful. Beautiful. So, now this stage, the reason we know you is because of digital.
Yeah.
And you said that you weren't really posting at that time. When did you start to sit down and say, okay, I'm doing this dance thing to grow, I need to use digital and social media? What was that journey like? Your introduction to, I think TikTok was the first place I saw you guys.
For me, it was even back then, I say I wasn't big, but I had like 15,000 followers, so I was still
that's big.
He was popular.
He's always been that guy.
Come on,
I was popular, but I was even more popular on the streets. You know, for example, in Kibra, most people knew me without social media. You get because I was always everywhere doing my stuff and things like that.
Right. So they just translated now onto digital after.
But I was still very good and even on social media. Even when we met, the first video I did, I was like, let's do this exact way. I'm sure you're gonna go hard. The video got 1 million views.
What?
On YouTube.
On YouTube. He had like 3,000 subs.
Yeah.
Or what? So at that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you know it was gonna blow?
Yeah, for me, I knew, but not that much. In my head, I was like 50 to 100K.
Yeah. 1 million.
Yeah. Like,
trust me, my guy. Like, okay. When the chemistry is on screen, it's
like,
crazy.
It's undeniable. Huh?
Yeah. Like, he just knows, like, he had it studied. Like, even back then, like, he knew what he was doing. You know?
Yeah.
So, actually, it was YouTube first. Than TikTok, even before TikTok came into the picture.
I think that's when I was introduced to the brand, that's why,
Because this was 2019, and he had been doing it. Yeah. Like, he used to shoot videos, like, you know, dance videos.
I used to have, 30 dance videos ahead of time, just the same way you guys are shooting like this. I used to have...
Just batch shoot,
I would just shoot every single day, dance videos in the street, and just post... Later.
On his iPhone, whatever.
5C.
Those were the days.
Yeah, 5C in Kibra. Yeah. I was the guy.
Yeah, popping. Bro, I can't talk to him.
I used to work with it like this, you know, like.
No fear. No fear. Crazy. Nah.
Don't play.
Yeah.
I'm really impressed, Tile. Yeah. I hope you know. I'm just like, I'm really impressed by you.
I appreciate it.
That mindset doesn't come easy. There was a time I walked through. I've seen Kibra a lot in my life. I grew up in South Sea, so I've seen Kibra a lot in my life, and it's a culture of where people are happy, but it's a very closed culture of people, very intimate culture of people. And to see that they've produced someone who has your mindset, your skill, and you're going after the world literally.
Yeah.
You're saying I'm dancing every week. I just have what do you have to say to someone who's grown up in Kibra right now, who's watching Man Talk?
Yeah.
And who feels like, you know, life is hopeless, especially the economy now, it's very hard.
Yeah.
What would be a piece of advice you'd want to give someone who's watching this and is in a situation where they think is hopeless, but you've beaten you've beaten harder odds?
Yeah. I mean, I wish I had like a magic potion or a secret word, but there's none. You just have to keep going. Like, but then you have to find something. And then go. Otherwise, you'll just be doing circles. You need to find a straight line. That's the easiest way.
Yeah.
You need to find a straight line, and now keep moving.
Keep your head
down. Think of
lines. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. By a straight line, I mean like put a target, and I just go. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just go. I mean, there's you. If you're in Kibra, you don't have much to lose. You're literally a zero. You're literally a zero. Yeah. Because I normally say for people like me, we're born in a situation which is like starting a match at 3-0, you know. So you have to equalize fast.
Yeah.
You know, before you even start thinking about getting to a a certain place, you have to equalize first. By equalizing, just that means you just have to be normal.
Yeah. Wow.
Be able to go to the toilet. That's what I'm talking about. That's the normal I'm talking. Because it's like you don't even have toilets. So don't even ask how we used to survive.
Yeah, I don't even want to know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. That's what it's I'm like, saying.
It's like you're just chilling in your crib. Boom. You're like, okay.
Yeah, somebody.
That was tough.
Let
me tell you this. At the beginning of the relationship, I used to spend some nights there in Kibra with him. And it's like...
In Kibra?
Yeah.
Ah, guys.
Yeah. Obviously.
Delay.
he had me here. But like, imagine you just started dating someone, and now you're spending the night and it's like, you have to like... I don't know if I can swear here.
Say it.
You have to like shit.
Yeah.
You know? And now there is no toilet. You can't go, it's at night, so it's like dangerous outside.
So
imagine like you just have to like suck it up the whole night. I'm now just saying this, but it's like it was tough.
I have what were your parents saying when you called back into Spain and said, hey, how was that?
Well, they didn't have much to say, I think. Like, I don't think they knew, like...
Passione.
Yeah.
I don't think they knew when he actually lived and everything.
Yeah.
Or maybe they did. I don't remember, but they never had, like, a bad thing to say about it. Like, just, like, be careful, I guess. Like, don't get, like, you know, marked or something.
Exactly.
Yeah. But with him, I felt safe there. Like, nothing would happen.
If I'm ever going to Kibra, this is where I'll go to Chile, bro. If I'm ever going.
We need to have a side podcast.
Because
like, imagine you have...
Yeah.
She's in Kibra at night.
Yeah.
First of all, security in the back of my mind, I'm thinking. Yeah. Security. Mm-hmm. If someone decides to come here and do anything, it's crazy. So... You must be really like, I think it's a belief in the community. The community must really protect you as well.
That's now my hood.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she can tell you how fast it takes for me to get the security.
Like just a call and
very fast. There's an incident that happened there, and I just made one call, and within 5 minutes, the whole place was packed because that's my hood now.
Yeah.
I used to just come back even at... that's why for me, when you say it's insecure, that does not apply to me.
Yeah.
Because I can just come back at any time, even the people I know who are going to mug you.
Yeah.
They'll be like, that's our Msani. You know?
Yeah.
Msani Retu.
Yeah.
But then I know who you are following me. Tomorrow morning, you don't have shoes.
If you dare. If you walk alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for me, I was... That's why I'm telling you I had to go back there, because that's the only place I could operate with my peace of mind.
Yeah, because you'd be protected. That's how I see it.
Wow.
Jeez.
So now we've... Okay, this story is incredible. So now you... I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Can I tell you, just for contrast, like, I'm embarrassed. I came to Kenya in 2015 and my dad was like, I need to show you. I showed you one side. I need to now show you the other. Bro, I drove through. Imagine, I've never been to Kibra. I burst into tears just driving through, because I've never seen something like that. So like, I'm just imagining coming from such a different world and then feeling safe in such contrast. It just speaks to the amount of love that was there, and the amount of connection and trust. It's incredible. It's making me think I might just find love.
Doesn't convince you. You know where she had me?
Yeah.
I felt like, you know, I could hear things drop on the roof.
Yeah.
And I'm like... Yeah. Wait a minute, wait.
Yeah.
I thought that, you know, even like you said, like these assumptions that I had about the relationship now that are completely gone.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because she was there with him.
Yeah, exactly.
In a generation where we are busy saying...
Preach on it.
Yeah, saying, oh, if he doesn't give me this, then I don't love him. If he doesn't give me a super
He's definitely had his fair share of that.
Too. Yeah, you know, those things...
Before me, I mean.
Situations where like a lot of men are... like feel deep financial insecurity that's being instigated by like in the relationship kind of dynamic.
Yeah.
Here we are hearing you coming from Spain, a very stable family, a very a very like good, stable, predictable upbringing, and a guy who's just going after it in life.
Yeah.
And in the most dire of circumstances, they are finding love.
Yeah.
Mujer.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Itself.
Yeah.
Right? Mujer.
Yeah.
Mujer.
Yeah.
There's mujer in Kibra. You know, like there should be a study. You two need to be studied.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen.
Oscar, we've debated this. I'm sorry to bring you into our conflict.
Yes.
But for about 3 years, we've debated about when we meet a woman, we asked Bien the same question.
Yes.
We asked Joel Rao the same question. And I think this is a perfect time to say, I think I'm right. Because we've always said, do you meet a girl when you've achieved everything?
Yeah.
Or do you meet her on the road to achieving and then they go along with you? What do you think now? Because this has been... since this podcast started, we've been debating on every week on live.
This might be the episode.
This is it.
This is it.
This is it.
This is
case closed.
Look at the example.
You got the answer.
Look at the example.
Yeah. We've been debating.
Yeah. We've been
and
debating
on this side where like I want to grind with her and get there and get there because I don't want to meet somebody want to have everything.
You know, first of all,
like,
what are you meeting
for?
Who I am, right? Yeah. Exactly.
I'm bought in. Tile has changed my mind. And
thank
Martina.
I will
now find someone to build with.
Like, that's what I'm saying.
Even her, she has to be there. You know, your father running podcasts, being a finance guy, lawyer guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you know, for us, that eliminates the question. In the relationship, like, are you in for anything?
Yeah.
So you can't even ask that question. Both of us know where we've been.
Exactly.
Yeah. But also, let me tell you, like,
so true.
When we started, I also had nothing to my name. Like, obviously, I had like a mattress to fall back on if everything fails, you know, which is something he didn't have. But like, really, like
standing alone.
You know, like, you know what I mean?
That's a very big misconception, by the way.
Yeah.
Most people think she just came in and took me and threw me in Spain and
exactly.
My life.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Like,
you just
we're just two broke people. Like,
just figuring it out.
Actually, I also think that the reason why it didn't scare me that, or it didn't like make me, you know, don't want nothing to do with him when he was broke and stuff, is because I had that privilege of like my dad has got me in a way.
Yeah, if worse like, comes to worse.
I think many Kenyan women, maybe it's like they also have nothing. Like, so it's like that's why you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, that's why they look for a provider or something, because it's like they themselves don't have nothing. And me, I had the privilege of just dating for love because, you know, I'm
dating
good.
For love is a privilege. Is that what you think?
I mean, in a way, I guess.
I agree.
But then I also want to say that I also know Spanish people, Spanish women, that would never do what I did.
Yeah.
Mm. Even though they have like that same privilege.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's like, I don't know.
Can these Spanish women dance like you, Tilo? Moving on.
Amazing.
I want to take us now to just to fast forward from that lovely inception and that lovely beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk about building a brand together, because I feel like I can see a lot of you in each other when it comes to how you've built individual brands.
Yeah.
How has that journey been, and what has it been like building a brand in dancing together?
I mean, just like any other brand, it's not an easy task. And especially now, you know, social media, you have to be very keen, because you can get sucked in very fast and decide to go the easy route, which is, of course, club chasing and stuff like that.
Mm.
We've always been very careful, and we prefer to be low-key and just be real. You know, just like grow at our pace. And keep everything that's supposed to be private, and only share what we think or what we want to share. And just build a brand to in the line of this is what we do. You know, it's dance. Is if it's a fashion, just that, basically.
How did you draw those lines? Like, this is what we don't share, this is what we do share. How was it, like a sit down conscious decision, or did you just go for it and see what you don't like and then rein it in?
No, we talk about it every single day. We discuss. Sometimes it's like, what do you think about this? And, I ask her, she asked me. It's like,
But I also think like we were always like in the same page about that. Like it wasn't like a conversation like we had to agree on. It was just like natural, like we are not exposing like our the core of our relationship. We just like create content together. And yeah, that's it. Put out content for people to enjoy, you know?
Yeah. So would you say that's your why, like showcasing people dance? And then also, so I remember there was a time on your page, you were telling people to vote. What kind of content should I make a new page for this? Yeah, should I be a mother? Should I just be a dancer?
Yeah.
So what do you think your kind of why is at the moment as a couple and individually with the content that you create?
This decision was like tough for me because I feel like there's so many... hats I put on and like faces and things I do that, you know, normally in social media they say like you find your niche and stick to it and everything, but for me it's like I don't want to find a niche, like I just want to show you everything I do.
Exactly. Yeah,
like
yeah,
you follow me for who I am, not for what I do in a way, or like or because I do this specific thing, you know. So I decided like, look, I'm gonna just put out what I want, and then if people work with it, that's fine. If they don't, that's also fine, like you know. So right now personally, and I think both of us are in a point in our careers where we generally love what we're doing, like I like making videos and being creative and like providing value for our clients. So that's where we are right now. But it's been a journey, like we haven't always been there,
yeah,
you know, like
you have to start.
At first it was dancing mostly. We love dancing, we love creating, we love shooting videos. That's how most people know us, I think. But yeah, we have branched out a lot from there.
Like individually I've seen, and then also as a collective you've branched out as well. What do you think your sort of why is, the bit of content you enjoy the most giving to people?
You know, for me, I've always been sort of a black sheep for my life. Yeah, so even in content creation, I don't really follow any rules. I just I believe I can do anything I want, you know. If it's dancing, it's posting about being a dad, I can dance with my son. I'm a dancing father. Very simple,
dancing,
you know.
Father.
Fashion, I can still dance while I'm dripped out, you know?
Right, got it.
So basically I just go.
Abs, he can dance while doing crunches.
I've done a lot of very viral dance videos
in
the
gym.
You know
exactly that.
So
it's about breaking rules.
I just go. You know,
I want us to talk about branching out, and you have some lovely bags on you. And you recently
thank you for reminding us.
You recently branched out into fashion, and we saw a designer collection of bags. Please tell us about it, because even us, you want bags.
Okay. So these are the bags, guys. We are both vaping with it. They are funny bags, and they are in collaboration with this Kenyan brand called Ikwera. And they have like the whole production is in Kenya. The leather they're made with is, they're made of, is also Kenyan from Machakos County. And they're made in Embakasi. So it's an 100% Kenyan made brand. And they reached out, they wanted to like put out a product with me. And at first I was hesitant because I was like, like, I don't know, I've never done this. Like, what do I do? You know, like. And then she was like, what about a bag? Like, Chini, if you're watching this. This is the lady that reached out to me. And she was like, what about a bag? Because that's like mainly what they do, shoes and bags. And I was like, wait. Like, yeah. Like my funny bag. Like, that made so much sense. Like, I've always worn a funny bag. Like, whoever has seen me more than twice in their life knows that I always wear a funny bag, right? Even like before, like years ago, right? And at first I used to wear like those fabric ones with funny prints and stuff, but they would break very easily, like with keys or any like pointy thing. So then I switched, I bought my first like leather funny bag, and I had that for like 6 years, and I would still wear it. I would still wear it right now, but now it's just that I came out with my own, so, you know.
Exactly, yeah.
So yeah, I'm very proud of them. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a personal project, you know,
because
it's something I always have loved and wear mm-hmm. proudly.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, now we've come out with a lot of different colors, mm-hmm. you know.
Amazing.
For everyone and yeah. every occasion.
We'll be getting ours soon.
Yeah.
We'll be getting ours soon.
So you yeah. can buy them www.equeda.com. Thank
Amazing.
You.
Amazing. So bags, one place you've branched into. As we wrap up, I want to know what the goal is for you guys, because the journey coming from where you've come from, achieving what you've done, where are you now looking to get to? What does success look like for you now in the future? Because your parents as well. So yeah.
Generational wealth.
Hey, I love that sentence. Tag it twice.
That's a goal.
Amazing.
Generational
worth.
Every time. Every time.
Jeez, jeez.
Like.
Yeah,
that,
so yeah. every day while we're discussing finances, we're like, so where are we? I normally like to say, I'm not poor anymore. Mm. I could say I'm rich, but I want to be wealthy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he gets it.
You know,
there's
a very big difference.
Yeah. Three mil, 4-3.
There you go.
Yeah.
You
know, yeah. So now we're in that process where we're trying to transition from being comfortable to being secure.
Yeah.
And the goal is very simple. For someone like me, I've literally grown up without my family around me. My goal is to make sure my son does not experience that in any way.
Exactly.
Being also me, I'm the only person in my family who has been able to achieve this kind of success, I would say.
Yeah.
It's very difficult because you have to come up with anyone, everyone around you, you know.
Yeah,
so it's very tricky because you have to...
It's heavy. Mm. The diet is heavy.
You know, at some points you have to pick, you know.
Yourself,
and for me... I'm always leaning towards making sure that my son won't pick, you know.
Amazing.
That means if it comes to my parents and me, I will build me so that my son does not have to make the same choices again.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
get. That's and it's cool. very, it's a very, very difficult level, I could say, because at some point you're like, I really, they really need it, but I also need it.
Yeah.
But then my son looks like he doesn't need it, but if I don't do it for me now,
he'll be right back trying to.
Later, I'll be doing the same thing now while he has his own son trying to.
Exactly.
You know, so.
Yeah. Breaking generational curses takes a lot.
Exactly.
A lot.
And that's exactly what you're doing, where you're like, you're trying to protect your family from the pain of its past too.
Yeah.
A new future and we it's very motivating. Like I said, Tilly, I'm very impressed. Like
Oscar is a new man.
I'm extremely because you see I can contextualize a lot of what you know what you're saying. And I really wish you the best because as a father, as a businessman, as a couple, here on Mantok, we will always open our doors for you. And we really, really have to get these bags because now they represent more.
This is for
Tiago, guys.
Exactly.
This is for Tiago. Is such a nice name.
Such a nice name. Listen.
Thank you.
Tiago.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Just been asked your name. You say Tiago.
Tiago. Be careful. And he's hard. He's a hard guy. Don't ask me. Don't make me turn into my dad. You're meeting a sweet one. So like huge props to you, my guys, and thank you so much for coming on Man Talk and sharing your story with us. If you're watching this from home, like, share, subscribe. Remember to do that. And remember to get yourself one of the bags. And enjoy the festive season. I think this is another beautiful story that we've gotten to tell.
I want to just say, give you your flowers as well. I think a lot of the time when, and this is what we want to dispel with Man Talk by having different people on, a lot of the time people think like a real man is someone who's loud, who's showy, who talks too much. But I like the quiet stillness and confidence that you give because I think in that stillness, you bring security. And ultimately, that's what a man is. Somebody that's going to create stability for people around him. So I think a lot of guys that probably follow you or watch your extended conversation here and be inspired to go a different route about being a proper man.
Yeah.
And in doing so, they'll achieve what you've achieved and have a lovely wife like you have as well. And hopefully a better life in general. So thank you for taking the time.
I don't think they'll be able to have a lovely wife like her because
he knows what to say. He's skilled.
That title is for her only.
Nobody else knows what to say. I'm inspired too.
They can try have their own versions.
Their own version. That's what we'll say.
This one is taken. Yeah. The bus is gone.
The bus is already gone. Yeah.
I love that so much. Yeah. But yeah, so this is Christmas.
This is Boxing Day.
This is Boxing Day. So I hope you enjoyed your Christmas.
Yeah.
We're probably sat on the couch right now, just bloated from our Christmas dinner. So I hope you are too.
Same.
Yeah. And we hope you've enjoyed this episode.
Half as much.
As we've enjoyed making it.
Because we have had a ball.
Merry Christmas, guys.
Merry Christmas. Enjoy your festive season.